You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Hour number two here in a Monday morning sun trying to come out. Green Bay, 30 degrees. Appleton, 30 degrees. Oshkosh, 30 degrees. So back to back to back, much like the Brewers game against the Yankees the other day with back to back to back.
Exactly, home runs.
Same thing. Hey, it's our break into spring text to win statewide contest. Your daily chance to win a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 cash. Plus, every entry puts you into our grand prize drawing of a brand new queen mattress set from Verlo Mattress Factory Store that includes a mattress, sheets, and more.
And this hour's keyword is Nest. N-E-S-T, Nest. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores, choose WISS or WGBW, and use the text button to send the keyword NEST for your chance to win in the statewide contest.
This hour, we're playing for a pair of tickets to see the Brewers at AmFam Field. Download that Civic Media app again, choose WISS or WGBW, and text the word NEST right now. You've got until 8 o'clock to do it. To qualify, your next chance to play is coming up at 11 a.m. with Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach on Mattenair on Air.
Got a texture. I watched some of the basketball last night. I don't know why, but some of those college kids look like they're 35 years old. Well, one of the guys spent 4 years, redshirted his first year, then spent 4 years at that school, and now was playing for a different school last night. So,
really?
So he's got to be about 24, 25.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah? You can do anything these days. There's no rules. There's
I
literally
thought
no rules.
Five was it. I thought red shirt and four.
That's all out the window.
Wow.
There's literally, the NCAA doesn't really know what it's doing these days because they're so afraid of lawsuits if they like try to hold anyone back or whatever, that right now it's just the Wild West and they just got to sort it all out. Wow. Yes. We're with Madeline Van Graal, UW Green Bay. That's what she's going to talk about is the NCAA and eligibility requirements. Right, Madeline?
Well, I don't know how much I know about that.
Well, it all costs money, and that you do know something about.
We do, yeah. We're hosting.
Introduce yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, Madeline Van Graal, Advancement Director for UW Green Bay.
An Advancement Director is code for fundraising.
It is. It is. It's our non-scary word for fundraising, but that's exactly what it means.
I could see my daughters calling me, or one of my daughters coming to me, Dad, I got a great job, Advancement Coordinator. Oh, you're going to be raising money? No, I'm an Advancement Coordinator.
Right.
Oh, you're going to be raising
I'm in the Development Office. So this is a great concept. Is this your special day, your day, UWGB day? Is this something new, or have you done this for a year?
No, it's new for us. Giving days have been a strategy for fundraisers at other universities, but this is the second one we're ever hosting. We hosted our first one last year, and it was much more successful than we could have imagined.
Great. So,
well, that's good.
Doing it again.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
So give us the details.
So it's a one-day fundraising sprint. We're fundraising for 12 different priorities across campus. All the different academic areas, the schools and colleges, Division I athletics, Widener Center, but then also
can
really
I read
having
some of these?
It's amazing all the stuff you do. I mean, everybody, go ahead, read some, John, but you got the
Conference
Widener Center.
School of Business, College of Arts, Humanities, Social Studies, College of Health Education, Social Welfare, College of Science, Engineering, and Technology, Lifelong Learning Institute, which I'm going to be doing next week. I'm excited. I've got a class here with veterans. Bayshore Arts Center, Fox River Watershed Monitoring. I mean, just lots of cool stuff that maybe wouldn't be in a spotlight to get funding if it wasn't for this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And scholarships as well. I mean, there's scholarships for the kids.
Yeah, scholarships I wanted to touch on just real quick. Because our students, you know, about 70% of our students have financial need. And certainly there is government grants and loans available. But always fundraising for need-based scholarships is a priority of ours.
And people need to give to this. And we'll talk about the match in a second. But the beauty of your university is that we retain that talent. You have a high retention of talent here
Absolutely.
In Green Bay.
Absolutely.
Johnny will tell you that's always a concern that we have here of people coming here and then leaving. Mm-hmm. And
the brain drain, as he calls it.
Yeah.
But you were just the opposite.
Yeah, I'm a boomerang. So I'm from here, left for college, and was away for about 15 years, and then came back for this opportunity at UW-Green Bay.
That's so cool.
That's great. So with that, there's a match. Tell me how the day's going to work.
Yeah, so our Council of Trustees has pledged $65,000 as a matching gift. So now we all have to do our part.
It's a nice little matching gift.
Yeah, if we can raise that $65,000, if we can match their pledge, then they'll fulfill that. So essentially, if you make a gift on April 3rd, you'll be doubling your gift with that trustee match.
That's fantastic.
And April 3rd,
how does it work?
Phone number for text, or how does this work?
So the easiest way is going to be to give online. So uwgb.edu/giving-day, or even if you just type into Google UWGB Giving Day, it'll get you to that website. You'll see those 12 different priorities. You can click on the ones that you care about, read a little bit more about what those funds are going to impact, and make your gift right there. You can make your gift anonymously, or you can put your name to it and add a little note of encouragement and tell other people why you give. The other thing that you can do, which would really be a huge help, is sharing this on social media mm-hmm. with your friends and followers. So on that website, there's a social media toolkit that makes it very easy for you to do that. You can grab images, grab text, and make your own post using that.
Fantastic. This is great.
So we just Google UWGB Giving Day, and it's going to take us where we need to go.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And if we don't want to designate it, we can just give you $200 or whatever we want to do?
Yes. Our undesignated fund is called the Fund for Excellence. And this is really interesting. So that's one of the 12 priorities. You'll see the Fund for Excellence. We use that kind of as our innovation fund. So the foundation keeps that unrestricted fund, and then people across the university can apply for those funds when they have a new idea. We're a state-funded institution. The state usually doesn't like to gamble on new ideas so much, as you know, we don't want our public dollars to be super risky. So we use philanthropic dollars for that. So one of the successes this last year is that we started paying students to have an internship with nonprofit organizations. Oftentimes those nonprofits don't have the additional funds to pay an intern,
right,
but we want those students to have that experience, and we don't want to deter them from seeking that opportunity. So we are using philanthropic funds in order to pay those students for those internship experiences.
You can talk all you want about great high-level classes, great professors, great whatever. I will go to my grave talking to kids, young students, saying an internship is the most important aspect that you can possibly have for your future.
And don't just have one.
No, exactly.
Get two, get three.
Absolutely. Not even a question. You got to do that.
And I think we know that, but when you have kids, you really know that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when I gave some state of the city addresses, you know, you call on people to do things and one of them was I did call on the business community to really, because internships aren't the easiest thing to do for a business. You really got to write a curriculum, and it's not babysitting, but you got to manage that and you don't want a college student to come in and file. I mean, you really want them to sit in on meetings. You want them to give a project that they have to do. But it's really worth it. It's worth it for your company because you learn what kids are thinking, but it's really worth it for that
student.
And
if you could find one niche as an intern that whoever you're working for or in that office, somehow you make their job easier by doing certain things that you notice and do, that'll make the biggest impact of anything.
Yeah. We also have a pretty innovative career development center. So internships, like you said, Jim, that can be a lot of work for the businesses. So they're starting to work on developing more like micro internship opportunities, day-long shadowing, or if you have a project that a student could do in 2 or 3 weeks, so that student gets a little bit of taste of that, but it's not quite as big of an ask for the business either.
We had quite a few of your students come and intern with us, and some of them have gone on to do some pretty cool things, which is awesome to follow them, you know, and keep in touch with them. Paying students to be in a nonprofit internship is not a new concept because when I was at St. Norbert in the late 70s, they paid me because I was going to be a social worker, John.
So you got paid to be an intern?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
At the Boys and Girls Club.
Great.
I think it was $8 an hour or six or something. But anyway.
Awesome. We got paid zero. I mean, nothing.
I want to say this, just to qualify it. The money went to your tuition.
Okay.
So you kind of got paid, but you didn't see the money.
That's great, though, too.
Oh, yeah. No,
I would have taken that in a heartbeat.
It was. So anyway, I just.
Wow.
But that's great because that's where the money would have gone anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's great that
But you're doing okay, with something like this, on that day, do you do a big outreach type thing as well? Or
We have over 50,000 alumni. So we sent out a piece of mail to over 50,000 people about a week ago. So all of them would have received something in the mail, and then there'll be a series of emails going out this week to encourage people to give. But it's, again, it's not only our alumni who can give, it's anybody in the community. UW-Green Bay is really an essential part of the fabric of UW-Green Bay. I mean, 50,000 alum, that's just people who got a degree from us, not counting all the people who maybe have started with UW-Green Bay, then transferred to Madison or Marquette to finish up their degree, or the many tens of thousands of people who take classes through our Division of Continuing Education and Workforce Development.
You know what my biggest surprise was when I hosted the, Nicole Stockman had me come out for the veterans, student veterans.
Great.
I was shocked at how many veterans go to UW-Green Bay right now. It's amazing, the number, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
And the other thing that everybody can go to is the Widener Center, something that this community gets to enjoy that is part of this whole giving day. Mm-hmm. And I just, basketball, there's events, like you said, people can come out for just that learning in retirement. You call it something
Lifelong
else,
Learning
Lifelong
Institute.
Learning.
It's changed names over the years.
Yeah. But, and there's all those summer programs,
Not even
too.
Just the students, right? Like you said, Widener Center, come out for a show, go to a basketball game, a volleyball game, a soccer game. Our cross-country track. We have a bunch of high school students running our cross-country track for meets. So just using the university and all of the different facets that it's here for the community.
And awesome.
You have some summer programs, too, for the youth that are cool.
Yeah,
that we
great
sent
camps.
Our kids to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, I just want one quick question in regards to something like this. When you have, like, young alums, okay? I've had this from young with UW-Green Bay. Make sure they're really included, too. Because I know, you know, some guys get a little bit, their nose is out of joint, just like, oh, yeah, they're going after. They don't realize we're the future, the young business. They might not be making the six-figure salaries yet. And sometimes, you know, you kind of that's where the shiny things are. Go after these young ones. Make them feel involved.
Yeah.
That's really, really important.
Yeah, you get they're $25 now, but every year it's a little bit more and more.
Exactly. But that $25 is going to be doubled on April 3rd.
Right,
so
right.
Give the 25, give 10, give 50, give what you can, and we'll put it to work.
And it does go to work. That's amazing. It goes to a lot of things. I mean, I'm going through this. So, all right, we got to do that. We have to get to UWGB Giving Day, and you will take us from there.
Yep.
This is going to be great.
Thank you for everybody who has already given. We've already gotten a lot of checks back in the mail and some gifts online, and thank you for everyone considering it. We appreciate it.
I want to keep you around for the one more short segment, okay?
Okay.
Something else I want to talk about. I think it's really important with academics these days. All right. We're with Madeline Van Graal, UW-Green Bay's Giving Day, coming up. Back right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I'll come fix it for you. Hang on.
Hey, welcome back. Madeline the Mayor here.
How the hell did that happen?
I don't know. I just pulled it down and it came apart. Madeline Van Graal, UW-Green Bay, Giving Day. Man, we're talking about some things off air there. Go ahead and pick up on that, Madeline. Some of the things you guys got going on.
Well, we were talking about ways to get people out to campus, right? And we already mentioned Division I Athletics. We mentioned the Widener Center. I see you have a note here about STEM Family Day coming up on April 12th. So that's, you know, anybody with a child aged 2 to 82, I mean, really come out and enjoy all the different science experiments that we'll be having there at the Brown County STEM Center. But even more specific than that, there's now 70 acres there at the university that we have gotten permission from the Board of Regents and then the state of Wisconsin to separate from the state and incorporate under the name Phoenix Innovation Park. And we have a, now a small board that is going to oversee this. And the goal here is to really develop that 70 acres. So whether that's a hotel, senior living, a restaurant, whatever that might be. I mean, right now we're still laying the groundwork of how are we going to get roads in and clear trees and all of that that needs to happen first.
That's
but
where,
we'd like
okay.
to.
Yeah. I met with the chancellor about that. That's where you need your steak and shake in Cracker Barrel.
Okay.
Because we need to bring. No, we need to have something out there that your 7,000 students can enjoy.
Yeah.
But we need to bring people out there as well. You can't. Well, you could sustain that, but we need something unique out there. And it's on a highway, kind of, so Cracker Barrel might work. But a Steak and Shake is cool because students like that. There's not alcohol there. And it's also got great malts and obviously burgers and steaks.
Yeah, so, I think
and great,
great
fries. Oh, I love their fries.
Yeah, having something like a little bit more accessible and student, and then maybe something a little bit more elevated.
Because
we have the Widener Center, and everybody who wants to go out to dinner before a show, well, they're coming maybe downtown, or there's just no place really that
close. I remember
close.
Years ago, the hottest little restaurant in town was Gipper's, because that was the closest restaurant there was to the Green Bay campus, really. And you know what I mean?
Yeah,
obviously,
really,
it's something different now, but... Oh, by the way, when I stopped at the gas station and those girls are out, they're all from Nepal, and I said, hey, did you stop out there? Yeah, I said, how was it? Pretty good.
Oh, Gippers? I mean, whatever
The
Indian
old
place.
Gippers,
the old Gippers Indian place.
We want to try Indian and Nepal food, which is Gippers is what that
but
is now.
It's kind of a sad commentary where the closest restaurant to UWGB is a gas station.
Yeah.
I mean, really, there's
it was
so
that
much,
and Escapades that, were the two places to go.
So that Innovation Park needs some planning, but there's a lot of things that have to happen in there, but you're right. The infrastructure is something, and the city's got to step up big time on that.
Yeah, it is still years away.
It is.
But one of the good things about getting the land incorporated under a separate board is that they won't have to adhere with all of the state procurement process. So once we're ready to develop, we'll hopefully be able to put things up faster.
I mean, you really want to go to the Board of Regents for every decision?
Yeah.
How does the state... I'm going to ask you a political question. Not political. I'm going to ask you a question. If you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to. Not political, Democrat, Republican. But in general, with the whole state, how do they look at UW-Green Bay versus all the other schools in the system?
Well, I feel like right now, so UW-Green Bay is growing. We actually have over 11,000 students, right? And this is at a time when all other institutions across the state are seeing declines in enrollment. So a lot of times we'll be in, you know, Board of Regent meetings, and they'll kind of point out, well, UW-Green Bay is doing that. Well, look at UW-Green Bay.
Oh, so, that's cool.
Yeah. So
there was a time they were considered a little bit of the, you know, the whatever. So that's great that they're being appreciated in that way.
Yeah.
However, you still wouldn't mind the model that Iowa uses, where you are an independent institution under a state.
Well, I think we get a lot of benefit from being part of the system. Part of UW system. It can slow things down a little bit, but I think overall with the mission of supporting the education of Wisconsinites, we can do that as a system well.
Right. That's cool. All right.
I mean, you got a lot going for you. You're the youngest university in the system. Mm-hmm. You've got a ton of land out there. I mean, you have a lot of land.
The only university in the country with too much land and too much parking.
but none of the parking's close.
But that's opportunity, right? I mean, that's what it is. So I just think.
I think the other thing we've been successful at and saw this early on is we have to diversify who a student is. So a student is not an 18 to 22 year old who lives on campus. That's one type of student.
Right.
But we also have thousands of students who are working professionals who maybe have a degree from NWTC and then they're working full time and coming to UW-Green Bay part time to finish up a bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. We have thousands of students who are dually enrolled in their high school and UW-Green Bay getting a jump start on that bachelor's degree. So we're really looking at diversifying who we define as a student.
You know, that's interesting. Jim and I went to an event last spring, and it was through the chamber where they gave all those kids all those awards and everything over here at the Meyer.
Yeah, I don't know if that was...
But in talking with
some of the college credits.
I was amazed at these high school kids. How many college credits?
And they're saving money. They're saving time,
which
is great. And that is great kids. And they're like, and they're focused. And they're like, look, I mean, think about that. You save a year's time, but it also gives you on the other end an additional year of economic making money, right? Because you're getting out a year early. So this is a great program. And I know you've worked hard on this. GBTC's worked hard on that, where they can get college credits while you're in high school. That's a good program.
Yeah.
So
did you do that in high school?
I did. Not as much as kids are doing
it now. Where'd you go to school?
I got my credits at St. Norbert.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to high school?
De Pere.
Okay. But you know, it's one of those things, those two, some of these kids, like Jim and I met a kid, I don't want to say he's from De Pere, at the golf tournament last year. He was, I want to say a junior in high school, but like a sophomore in college or something. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah,
it
I do.
It was unbelievable. Like,
okay. Yeah. Okay, we feel bad enough. Okay, don't bring us down anymore.
Yeah.
And this kid was like, oh my God.
It's like, oh.
You want to be adopted?
I thought we're all created equal. We're not. Okay, give it a plug one more time for your great event coming up.
All right, Giving Day, April 3rd. That's this Thursday. Either Google UWGB Giving Day or visit uwgb.edu/giving-day to make your gift to support all the great work happening out there at UWGB.
And you could say sports are, you know, the fun store, the candy store, the toy store. But let me tell you something. If you're an alumni of UW Green Bay, and last week on national TV on ESPN or CBS, you see UW Green Bay all right. over on that basketball mm-hmm. court.
Right.
You tell me that doesn't make a difference when it comes to donations and things. True.
Yeah. Amazing. And the fact that it was her first year as coach. Fantastic. Right. Fantastic women's program.
And we
there.
Can Google that now.
Yes, absolutely.
We don't have to wait till
you
the
don't
third.
Have to wait till yeah, the third. Yep. Okay. You can give so any time now it. Until the end of the day on the third.
Right. This is great.
It's fantastic. Congratulations
Thank
on what you're doing.
Both.
I'm really excited next week. I've got such a great lineup of veterans that are going to speak in my Lifetime Learning seminar next week that it's on the 7th. I'm really excited about it.
Great. Well, thanks for doing that.
Well, I can help them find where we're going because I'm going to get lost too. What else just happens? Just being honest.
All right, Madeline. Thanks
Madeline,
for
you're
in.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. They've got a great representative in you handling this. Back with Kristen Ambos after this.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The NFL draft coming to the Green Bay area in just a few weeks will disrupt mail delivery for about 1,200 residents and businesses in Ashwaubenon. A U.S. Postal Service official said many mailboxes will be blocked for on-street parking during the draft, and mail carriers will not be able to access them. Residents in and around the Lambeau Field area may want to ask the Postal Service to put their mail on hold and pick it up at the post office. Visit USPS.com for information. Funding for programs that support child care in Wisconsin are set to expire this year, and Wisconsin's Governor Tony Evers is proposing keeping those programs funded long-term. Evers is touring child care facilities across the state, hearing directly from people who run child care centers about the impact of state funding on their operations. Current state funding for the Child Care Counts program is set to expire in June. Evers said that 1 in 5 child care centers across the state could close without child care counts.
Some legislators don't understand how important early childhood is, and I've seen numbers that I think are probably low that if we don't do something with this budget, about 20% of these places will close.
Evers says that early childhood education and child care are critical for development and included over $500 million in his state budget proposal to make child care counts permanent, as well as other ways to support child care workers in Wisconsin. You can learn more about what's in Governor Evers' budget proposal on the Department of Administration website. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
And we got a break into spring. Our statewide text to win contest is still going on right now. And it's your shot to this morning win some Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets with the word. This hour's keyword is NEST, N-E-S-T, NEST. If you haven't done so already, we need your help on this. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Choose WISS or WGBW. Use that text button in the lower right-hand corner. Send the word NEST for your chance to win in this statewide contest. You could also win, of course, that grand prize, a brand new queen mattress set from Verlo, including a mattress, sheets, and more. If you haven't texted already during the Mino and the Mayor show, you've got till 8 o'clock to do so. Text to win with John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
There you go.
All right, and we need your help.
NEST.
We compete with
other civic media
morning shows
entities,
and we want to
we're
win
not
this
very
thing,
fond so of. I'll be you, honest with you at times.
What's that?
Who we're not very
no,
fond of
no,
at times.
No, we don't. We're competitive, Johnny. Yep. We love us. And
let's put it this way: we didn't exactly knock over any chairs reaching to congratulate anyone else in our company that won that night at the Wisconsin Broadcast Association.
Including your producer.
Yes, not that we got second and left. Yep. So,
you
anyway.
Poor guy.
We literally overturned the table.
They left before
table
I got,
flipping.
Yeah, we left. Yeah. And we went there and we brought packets of M&Ms for Mino and the Mayor to give out to everybody. And we got
after
second
one.
And we just took them all back to the room and ate them. So
we actually had diagrams of which way we should go up to collect our
right.
Because there's too many people over there. Let's go around that table.
Right.
No, you know what we should do? We should go right around that
and
way.
Like, okay,
and then
cool.
we're at the thing.
Good idea.
And then do the walk in front of everybody with
right.
the award.
You walk
award.
Up on stage and we'll
and
walk up.
Come
back.
And you stole the candy back and went and
no.
ate it in your room and
no,
just
we brought
sulked
the,
in
we,
it?
We brought yeah.
All right.
M&M's.
Sulked for the rest of the night.
So
can't
we,
say I haven't been there.
Anyway, text in Nest, N-E-S-T. So, all right.
Sometimes we have to eat our feelings. Oh. It just happened.
Did you? Okay.
Oh, that's my life.
Oh, they're devoured.
Totally.
Okay.
What do you think of Todd with the head shave and everything?
I said this morning when I walked in, I'm like, I keep being surprised by your head being shaved.
Yeah.
I actually trimmed it. Should I keep it this way or should I go back to the other
one? I thought you trimmed it a little bit already.
I did.
Your beard,
did.
Right?
Yep. And my head.
And your head.
Yep.
It grow, you know what? I know it's a great cause. Children with cancer.
Yeah.
Greatest cause in the world.
Yeah.
But
Saint
we're asking
Baldrick's,
for half
right?
our money back. because his stuff grows back so fast.
It's not
it was
fair.
No big deal for him.
It was not fair.
No, so we're going to write them out a separate check, but not through him.
Yeah.
So that's how we're going to do it. Right, Todd?
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
yep.
Thanks a lot, guys.
That's great. Kristen Ambos,
good morning.
Point Mortgage Corporation. Good morning. This should be the start, the real big start to the home buying, home selling season.
Yes.
But I still think weather sometimes plays a factor. Yes or no? Or
oh,
am I
yes.
just that old guy that doesn't want to go out when it's cold anymore?
No, you're not. You're not alone in that at all. Okay. I'm just stoked that it's laid out till like 7 p.m.
Yes.
It's like breathes a whole new life into you.
That's true.
So no, it's good time to buy. It really is. However, yeah, the snow, I mean, it was a pretty, because we had a later winter now.
Yeah.
So the snow, it was a quiet February. I think most people you ask would have been, you know, pretty quiet. They don't want to move in the snow. And now,
because
now they're getting
even
their houses ready.
Open houses
yeah.
this time of year are big.
Yeah.
And if it's a nice Saturday or Sunday, oh man, you'll have 30 people, 40
oh, yes.
people coming
yeah,
through.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Still a lot. There's still, you know, quite a few price points that are getting multiple offers. And in the industry, you know, maybe they're not $30,000, $40,000 over, but definitely right. $5,000, $10,000, $15,000.
Wow.
So, I mean, they're still going for over, but at the same time, it's tapering down.
And are
it's
people,
not as crazy.
And are people picking up some investment properties, the rentals or second homes?
Yeah, they are. But, you know, it's really tough because it's got to make sense. And the price points that they're at with the rates that they're at, it's really hard
right.
to make sense of
rent it out and
renting it out,
flow.
Making money, yeah. getting any kind of cash flow at all. So, you know, one of the big issues is then you have big companies coming in and buying all the investments. And, you know, it leaves us mom and pop investors, you know, down a little ways. And once those corporations have those properties, they rarely...
Right.
Rarely let them go.
Ain't coming down no more.
Yep.
No.
So.
Let me ask you
yeah.
this. What has gone up more? Because I have the, it's never going to happen.
Yep.
I concede that I'm never going to have a cabin.
Yeah.
But I can still, you know, kick the tires and,
sure.
and wish and dream.
Got a dream. You got a dream.
And what has gone higher, do you think, percentage-wise? Homes in Northeast Wisconsin
okay.
or cabins in Northeast Wisconsin?
Oh, boy. You know, I would say both. A few years ago, I would say your cottages, cabins went up astronomically because
the
whole Airbnb
water,
thing.
Too, yeah.
Yes. But I feel like that Airbnb thing is tapering off a bit.
Okay.
You know, there is still a place for it, but I think as the hotel lobbyists and things like that come in and started putting more restrictions on Airbnbs because that's competition for them. You know, so there was a lot going on there. So I think that brought into the effect that, okay, now we have to have it for a certain amount of nights. We can't just do one night. We have to pay these taxes on it. We have to do this, you know? So I think that and also back in, you know, 5 years ago, you could buy a second home for the same, you know, yeah, you had to put 10% down, but you got the same interest rate as your primary home. Now you pay an investment interest rate on that second home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's making them less desirable because the interest rate is higher, like your investment properties are, because it's a bigger risk.
Bigger nut to cover.
Yep, absolutely.
And so the ARM is still an option, right? Where you get this adjustable rate mortgage.
Yeah.
And you can 3 years, and that's less than a fixed rate.
Right. Yep.
So I just, my sister, I was talking to her. She's buying something and doing the ARM.
Yeah.
Which I'm not crazy about that. Do you have any advice? Do you like it? Not like it?
Yeah.
But it's a gamble, isn't it?
It's a gamble.
But it's available.
It is available. And, you know, here's the deal. I lean more towards non-ARMs than I do ARMs.
Okay.
You know, obviously I lived through the 2008 and 10 era.
Yeah.
So I saw what ARMs did to our industry. It was not great. The second time around, I was somebody who was pretty skeptical of them for a few reasons. One of them being, you know, right now we've got a lot of people whose 3 and 5 year ARMs are coming due from 2020, 2021, 2022. Mm-hmm. And now, like, I've sat down with quite a few people and they can't afford what their payment's going to go up to on the ARM. Or
how much is it going?
They have
they
a
locked
balloon.
In at what, 3 or 4, and now it's 6 or 7?
Yeah, probably even in some points, 8 or 9. Because it depends on the ARM they've done. The first time adjustment, I've heard anywhere from 2 to 5% higher than the rate they're in now.
That's significant.
So it's a big jump. It's a really big jump. And where you're seeing, so I was telling you guys when we were walking in and just kind of talking, you know, there's a big news article going around by some very predominant people who are, you know, saying brace yourself because the ARMs are coming due, things like that. You've got higher foreclosures now. But one of the things I wanted to clarify is in that article, it is 5+ units. It's the 1 to 4 units are not. It's the lowest it's ever, probably almost ever been.
Mm-hmm.
But your 5+ units are up. Well, part of that is because those are commercial loans. And when they're commercial loans, you and I know if you take out an LLC as an investor, myself included, my properties are on 5-year ARMs. Well, those 5-year ARMs are coming due, and now those commercial properties at 3 or 4% are probably now at 7 or 8%. Yeah. Are they cash flowing or not? They don't see an end in sight. Rates, we've been told rates are not going back down to 3 or 4%. People can't afford them. What are they doing? So it's really on that commercial side, heavy right now versus on the residential side. So I just felt like that was a really big aspect that needed to be taken into account, right? And you can tell a story however you want, paint the picture. But if you're going to skew it without all the details, it can change a big thing, you know? But then I think now, same thing, your investors like you and I coming in to buy $1 million property that's 5+ units at a 7 or 8% interest rate probably can't make those numbers work. So now the big management companies come in, buy up the properties, and then we know they don't let them go. So it's a very cyclical thing right now.
And no one has a crystal ball, but there's a lot of rentals being built. You know what I mean?
So yes, there's a ton of them being built right now.
No,
the rental properties are crazy.
It is. And that will eventually drive the price, at least stabilize it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to be at this 10, 20% stuff anymore. They may even bring it down a little bit, which would be awesome. But so you're right. If it pencils out and you just break even right now, I'd be a little skeptical of that because in 2 or 3 years, if there's more rentals on the market, you'd have to lower the price, then you're going to be upside down. So anyway, that's good advice that you can give somebody.
Right. That and taxes and insurance keep going up.
Yes.
So if my taxes and insurance keep going up and I can only raise my rent $25, but my taxes and insurance went up 100.
Yeah. I know I've asked you this 100 times. I'm going to ask it again.
Yeah.
Are there still flippers out there?
You know, there are, but I feel like they're very few and far between what they used to be. Yeah. Yeah. It's because, again, you're flipping.
Right.
The price of materials goes up. You got to get that house at a steal, and people just aren't walking away for pennies on the dollar on their houses right now. They don't have to. So
with all the mortgages you do, and I know there's not a one size fits all, but what is there a most common mortgage that you do that people should, if you're going to come see you, what should you kind of have in the back of your mind?
You know, it's really the 30-year fixed. It's still always going to be. Now, there's quite a few people.
Is that 20% down?
No, you can do it with as little as 3% down if you're buying the house. Now, if you're an investor, 20% for a single family, 25 for a 2 to 4 unit.
This might be a dumb question, but it's a legit question.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be alive 30 years from now. Can I still get a 30-year mortgage?
Oh, yeah. Can't discriminate.
And then what happens if I die in 6 years?
Your family sells it for you takes it over, whatever is in your, if you have a beneficiary, you have a will, if anything like that.
Okay.
If you have a surviving spouse that's on it, they can continue to pay it, things like that. But yeah. I've done a 30-year fixed on a 90-year-old woman before.
No kidding.
Yeah, we can't discriminate.
See, that's optimism.
Yeah. She's, that is.
She, I don't know if she's optimistic or very smart.
I didn't know if you guys would give up like 6-year loans or something.
Yeah.
Like
we can. We can. Yeah, you can do certain terms. You don't have to do the 30-year fix. You could do an 18-year if you wanted to. People think that that changes the rate, then it doesn't typically.
You think I got 18 years? 18 good years left?
Yeah, yeah. I do. I was telling Johnny, I'm in this club and it's lifetime membership. And the lady punched it up and it was like 2054. I'm like, what the hell do you know that I don't know?
Fill me in.
Right?
My dad always
programmed it all in.
Yeah, I know.
My dad always said, if I knew I was going to live this long, I
would have taken better care of myself. That was Mickey Mantle's line.
Yes.
Said, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have drank so much. Good point. Kristen Ambo, yes. Point Mortgage Corporation. Stick around. We got lots more we want to talk to you about. But once again, with this time of year, and just the little things that I took from being in real estate for a minute was do your homework, do your research, get all those ducks in the row. Because if you don't, you're going to go someplace, no matter what kind of money you got, and you're going to see someplace you really like, and you're going to want to jump on it.
Oh,
and you're going to know you want to jump on it. And if you don't have that other background homework done, you're going to lose it.
And I can't tell you, even this weekend, the same. People call at 3 o'clock on a Saturday and be like, hey, I need a pre-approval in an hour or two. It happens every weekend.
It could happen.
And it's so tough.
So tough. All right. Stick around. More to talk about. Kristen Ambos, back right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We start out with Karen Carpenter.
See, this is
time.
This gets us going. This is awesome, isn't it? Kristen, we're going now.
Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage Corporation. You know what? We shouldn't go to breaks because we have great discussions. Because it doesn't take much to get you fired up about things.
No,
and you got
it
fired
doesn't.
Up about something during our break.
Yeah.
You two had a good conversation going, I want to grab a water. Pick it up from there.
We'll bring it back. Yeah. Well, you want to do this? You want to
Yeah. We still got time, don't we?
We do.
Okay, let's do it one more time. For all the listeners out there, please help us out. Just help out Jim and I. Even if you don't accept the prizes, which there are, you can just give them back to us if you want. But ladies and gentlemen, it's our Break Into Spring Text to Win statewide contest. Your daily chance to win a Chula Vista getaway. Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, $100 cash, plus every entry puts you into a grand prize drawing of a brand new queen mattress set from Verlo that includes a mattress, sheets, and more.
And this hour's keyword is Nest. N-E-S-T, Nest. So download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores, choose WISS or WGBW, and use the text button to send the keyword NEST for your chance to win in the statewide contest.
You got 7 minutes to do that right now before 8 o'clock. Other than that, your next chance to play is coming up after 11 a.m. with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach on Matinair On Air.
Can they vote like 100 times?
They can play every time we play this contest.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Come on, people, help us
out.
We can't be the bottom feeders of our company with our texters this time.
No,
we can't.
We need your help.
Do it for us.
Yes.
Enough about you. For what we do for you people on a daily basis. We get up at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. We shovel the sidewalks. In case any of you folks are stopping by, we bake stuff.
John,
so you got nice
let's
warm.
Be honest. We get up at 3 o'clock, we go to the bathroom, we go back to bed, and then we get up at 5:30, and then we come waltzing in here at 5 to 6.
I just want
to be honest with the listeners. Okay.
Hi, we get up at 3 a.m.
Kristen,
Most of what he just said was true.
We walk up and down the road. Snow going both ways. Yes.
Point Mortgage. Kristen, Point Mortgage. Yeah, I want to just talk about what we were talking about on breaks. I think this is important.
It was very important.
Some people get a mortgage from a lending institution.
Yeah.
And they don't read the fine print.
They get tangled up, and they
got to go redo it and redo it. And it's the fees that are killing them.
Yeah.
And they're better off getting into a longer-term mortgage and just paying the dang loan off.
And that's part of why I'm a big advocate for the 30-year fix, 15-year fix, whatever it is, just a fixed rate. I'll explain. So I met with a client last week. She's an older lady. Husband took care of everything. He passed away. Daughter lives in the house. She came in. She's like, I still owe $39,000 on this house, and I don't know how. She's like, but they're asking me again to refinance.
Because she had been paying.
Because she had been paying. She's been paying all. Fine. Yep. Mortgage is great. Everything's great. Come to find out, when I go through the paperwork, she's on a commercial loan. And as we were discussing, if you have an LLC or something like that, a commercial loan is a 20-year AM, 20-year amortization, typically on a five-year arm. Okay. So your rate is only ever locked in for 5 years.
Right.
And so she's refinanced in the last 25 years, five or six times, not because she wants to. Now you tack on all those fees, and they just did it twice before because it keeps adjusting on her. On top of it, this last one was a balloon instead of an arm. So remember, balloons come due. You don't just adjust that rate. It's, we have until this date, your balloon comes due, excuse me, you owe us. So now she's forced to refinance again because she doesn't have the $39,000 to pay it off. Now that's a very typical thing. Some people might have the money, some people don't. But the poor woman just wants to pay this house off. And the credit union never explained it to her over and over again. The bank never, the bank that she was back and forth with, no one ever explained it to her. So we just sat down, went through everything, went through all of her own paperwork, and she was like, holy cow. And that's just part of it is it's so easy to take that shiny object of the lower rate when it's an adjustable mortgage or a balloon. But the fact is that then it comes with more fees, more terms, higher rates. And you just get into the fixed rate and know what your payment is for the 30 years. Your principal and interest will never change.
And you can pay it off early, too.
You can always pay it off early.
$100 toward it, $200.
Yep, there's no prepayment penalty for it. You know,
That's good advice, because I think people, not that a banker's a doctor, but some people just take them at their word. You know, you don't challenge a banker, and you don't challenge doctors. And it's somebody like you is just like, wait a minute. This is what
Hold
I would
your loan
advise.
Officer accountable. Right. You know, and a lot of times they don't know. Clients just don't know how to ask the questions.
Right.
They're just unsure.
You don't know.
So I've always tried to be very forthright with what's going on, or here's your loan options. Here's the good, the bad of all of them.
The other thing you say that sometimes.
And it can be complicated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It can be.
Sometimes you get a call on a Saturday at 3 o'clock. Oh, we found the house.
Yes.
You know, pre-approve us.
Right.
And you're like, I can't really do that by 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
If someone comes in and sits down with you and gets pre-approved, how long is that piece of paper good for?
Typically 90 to 120 days. And that's basically because that's when the credit bureaus expire.
Okay. So that's going to take you through the whole summer. So
yes. Absolutely. And if you have to redo them because you didn't find the house, it is not difficult to do. The other big thing is people are very cognizant right now about a hard credit pull versus a soft credit pull. You can do a soft credit pull. There's really good to that. Because then you don't have the hard pull. But if you want to do a mortgage, you need a hard pull. Mm-hmm. And so let's say your loan officer just does a soft pull to start and then a hard pull after. What if something came up and changed? And now you have an offer in on a house and your credit's different. So,
yeah.
Okay, we only have 60 seconds. Yeah. I don't want to get into this, but
no.
Is it kind of, I don't want to say a scam, but is it kind of a weird thing that you get penalized every time you get your credit checked?
Yeah, and this is a great, maybe the next time, Todd, remind me and we should talk all about that. But the truth is that with a mortgage, when you pull a mortgage credit pull, it shows an M for mortgage on the backside. And you could have your credit pulled a couple times within 30 days without it hurting you so that you have the ability to shop.
Okay, we got next time, I really want to talk a bunch about this. Okay,
about credit,
and I want young people to know about this with credit.
Yep,
and what other things can
we'll
really
prep it
damage
and see if
it
we
that you wouldn't
more
think
people
of.
Listening. Yeah,
absolutely, that'd be phenomenal. We got to set a quick break. Always great
having
Kristen Ambos here.
It.
Back after this.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.